Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have a fascinating guest with us today. He is a man who at this very moment is in Ecuador. That is his home. He is an American. He has a story that he's going to share with us today. His name is Richard Verkley, and Richard is a man that's walked a unique road in life. Richard, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Donna. Pleasure to be here, and hello to all of you in beautiful America.
Absolutely. Now, I met you at the National Publicity Summit in New York, and I had no idea that your permanent home is in Ecuador.
Yeah, it's, it's been part of a sort of a lifelong transition, but ultimately, one of the reasons we're here is it's an extremely healthy environment. We have very high quality foods in terms of produce and vegetables and those sorts of things. And probably as we talk a little bit today, you know, a big part of my story is certainly health and looking for better ways to sort of improve my health from sort of the condition I was in. So it was part and parcel of health, but it was also part and parcel of changing, you know, life altogether and having a quality of life.
South America, I think, is coming more and more into the forefront economically on so many different levels. But you're a man, let's talk a little bit about your background, because your publication is titled From Rags to Rags, Turning Points on the Road to Millions. And I know just about anybody and everybody, if you would ask them, what would you like to have? They would like to have more financial freedom. But your journey was a journey of hard knocks in many respects. And you brought up just a moment ago about an issue with health. And you love Ecuador, love being there because of the opportunities that you have. But let's talk about where you came from. You actually were from Calgary. The Canadian Rockies, right?
That's where I started out, yeah, as a young man. And I know, sort of the early part of the book, you know, it sort of takes you through those early days of growing up, you know, kind of right after the Depression era. My grandfather and my parents had gone through the Depression. And, of course, things were starting to get better. But it was that, early time when, you know, people were still struggling rather significantly. And I have sort of this thing I talk about in the book about, you know, growing up poor. And, mm-hmm. you don't know you're growing up poor. You're just growing up. I mean, that sort of awareness comes to you later. But when you're 5 years old and you got a basket strapped around your neck and you're going door to door selling the donuts your mother made in order to help her make the rent payment, you know, you can start to see quickly in retrospect that, well, you know, we were struggling and, you know, there were sort of tough times. And of course, many people grew up in those times.
Yes, they did. Now, you had quite a unique experience when you were 5 years of age, and you were building a fort, and you were digging underneath icy clusters of snow. Talk to us about that one.
Yeah, depending on where you live in North America, you know, snow is different in different places, and of course, we were on the backside of the Rocky Mountains, and so anybody who lives, sort of on the western range of the Rockies finds that they get a lot of big, white, heavy, wet snow. Well, on the backside of the Rockies, most of the moisture gets pulled off, and we get this sort of light, wispy, sort of crystal type of snow, and it builds up over time, and, you know, it blows and it drifts, and it gets very crusty. And so it's not heavy and wet, but it's hard and icy. And when we were kids, we lived across the street from a horse ranch, and there was barbed wire fences, and the snow used to sort of blow across that fence line and into the ditch line, you know, right across the street from us, and it would create sort of a like a surfer's curl, and because it was hard and crunchy, you could walk on top of it and walk around it, and I happened to have gotten a shovel, a little wood, you know, toy shovel, and it was either for my birthday or Christmas, I can't remember, and I thought, well, I'll tunnel into this thing, because it's the sort of thing we like to do, was to build snow forts and that sort of thing, and so I tunneled into sort of the side of this thing and created a little cavern and thought, well, this is cool, but I need an exit. And so I tunneled from the other side to create sort of a back door. And, of course, not being an engineering wizard at five, what I had done is undermined the top. And so once I was, you know, more or less kind of coming back into the cavern that I hauled out, the entire thing collapsed down on top of me. And, well, you know, I sort of describe it in my book as this, you know, screaming, raging fear. You know, you're 5 years old. You can't move. Your face is pushed into the snow. And, you know, I screamed for my mother, who was probably, you know, 30 or 35 yards away from me in the house. And, of course, you know, there's no way she could hear me even if she was probably 5 feet away. But what was happening was I was starting to suck in the ice crystals. And your body starts cooling. And, you know, there's still some air, but, you know, you're starting to sort of use up that air pocket. And what I sort of talk about in the book is, you know, this sort of, you know, very unique moment, you know, occurred in my life where I just got dead calm and started thinking, how am I getting out of here? You know, there is no help. And I still had the shovel in my hand from when it collapsed. And so, you know, I started just working the shovel. And, you know, I don't know how long it was. It was 3 minutes, 7 minutes, or 10 minutes. But, you know, I just sort of kept pushing up until I actually broke the surface. And, you know, managed to get the hole bigger and bigger and crawl my way out. But, you know, by the time I got to the top of this thing, I was blue and, you know, pretty much, you know, half frozen and, you know, had to lay there, catch my breath and make my way home. And so one of the things I say in the book is, you know, I walked in the house and my mother was like, oh, my God, you know, what have you been doing? And I was just, yeah, I just got cold because, you know, I had the type of father that, you know, he found out I'd done something so stupid, even though I was five. You know, and I actually got a good smack out of that. So anyways, it was a sort of a real life-setting moment for me where, you know, having had this, you know, rabid fear of a five-year-old thinking he's going to die to the point where he got calm and got out of it, you know, it was a big lesson. And, it, you know, the big lesson was, and it, you know, pretty much permeated right there to the rest of my life that, you know, you never give up. You never capitulate. You know, you do what you have to do. And no matter how difficult and how long the chore or the task may seem, you know, you put your mind to it and you'll achieve it. So that was the sort of the initial opening paragraph or section of the book.
Your mother was quite a gal.
Yeah.
You didn't like your dad because he was not such a nice person. But your mother was someone that really taught you a lot of lessons. And there was the story about your mother being at a theater. And that really was very touching. Share what, your mother was quite a gal. Share that story, because it taught you something about being aware of other people.
Yeah. Well, as you said, my father wasn't a really nice guy, and he was an alcoholic and sort of a tough character. And my mom was this, you know, like I said, grew up in the Depression and used to walk the railroad tracks to pick up coal to help them heat their home, and had to sort of, you know, quit school at grade 11, you know, in order to help her family and take part-time jobs. And so she was always inspirational and, you know, really extremely hard worker through her entire life, had 2 to 3 jobs at any given time. And when we were little guys, and sort of, you know, you paint the picture where it's a cold day, it's snowy, and there's a Disney film that's come out. And, you know, once or twice a year, we go to a Disney film and, you know, sort of like, you know, the Goslings were walking in behind Mom and, you know, we're going to the theater. And this is an exciting event. I mean, you know, there's neon lights. This is a big theater from the old days, you know, that had a stage and, you know, they would have, you know, big productions inside of this type of theater with velvet seats. And so we're all excited as kids, and we get there and there's a huge lineup like there are for any Disney films back then. And anyways, we're in the lineup and it's cold and there's snow, you know, sort of wispy blowing around. And we're, you know, my mom hooks up with this other lady who's got 3 kids, and we're, you know, we start playing in and out of the line, and the moms are, you know, they're engaged with themselves. They're talking, they're having a nice time. And we're sort of running around, and finally we get our way to, you know, this, you know, if you imagine back then, of course, there's only one person at the window who takes tickets. And as we get up to the window, the price of the movie is more than, you know, the normal price had always been. And, you know, obviously it's a Disney film, maybe they're charging more. And I can't tell you if it was 10 cents or 25 cents more, but there was just panic, you know, in the moms. And so, yeah, you know, the lady in front of us, she's going through her purse, and she actually doesn't have enough money. And you can imagine, you know, these little kids, and, you know, we're all in these sort of woolly clothes and woolly caps, and, you know, we look like, you know, that's that depression sort of time. And you know, you can see the tears in her eyes. And I'm watching this, and my mom's scrambling through her purse. And so she looks inside, and then she looks back at us, and we're all kind of standing there going, gee, are we going to get to go to this movie? And she looks down at us, and she goes, there's not going to be any treats. And we're like, okay. So she reaches in her purse and hands the money to the woman in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I say in the book, you know, when she said there'll be no treats, I didn't mean we were going to get some popcorn or candy bars when we were in there. That meant we were going to, you know, sort of, you know, they call them five and dimes, you know, where they had a cafeteria, and we were going to share a plate of French fries. You know, that was sort of the thing that we did after a movie. Yet, you know, the greater good was, let's help them. And so, you know, quite frankly, you know, another one of those life-changing moments impressed upon me sort of through the balance of my life where, I've just done this recently. I'll give you my last dollar. I'll do it. If you know, you're in greater need, something will occur for me, you know, that'll sort of make that up. I've learned that lesson in life that you can give away your last dollar and amazingly 3 days later, three will drop in your pocket. So, but, you know, it takes a long time to learn these lessons. But, you know, there she was, you know, giving all she had. And ultimately, you know, changing the lives. And, you know, we don't know the impact of those other kids and that family and sort of what went on after they left it. But quite frankly, I still feel good about it today.
I can understand. Now, you make some comments in your book that are very powerful comments. And I'm just going to read them verbatim. We need to earn our way, do our share. If you pull your own load, you get to own what you deserve. We don't pay enough attention to the lessons of our grandfathers. Too many people want something for nothing. They are not prepared to work to make it happen. And unfortunately, too many of the ones that do work spend it on things they can't afford. These are not the values of our grandparents. They would be ashamed to know of the path we're on. Also, you say, let's get off this turntable of idolizing the wrong people and disrespecting the right ones. Let's start respecting people who make a difference in the lives of others. You're very succinct in this book. When you wrote this book, when you put it together, what did you really want to put across? You're a man that's independently wealthy. Why was this important for you to do?
Well, you know, the concept is simple yet large in that, you know, if we had, you know, the forefathers. And I'm not talking about the guys who signed, you know, the early constitutions and those sorts of things. But, you know, it started with them and it worked its way up. And, you know, when you have to work for everything you eat, when you have to survive on, you know, what it is you take on, you match your expense with what it is you bring in. And these hardworking, determined, you know, let's go get a hard piece of hard rock, sandy soil in the middle of the Texas desert and, you know, let's break it up and plant something in it. And sooner or later, there's some corn and some other people are being fed and other families are moving out. You know, you sort of see where we started. And this is cyclical. And certainly this is not personal because it just goes, this happens over and over again, you know, and now we're sort of in the twilight of, you know, where this began. And when things are tough, people are tough. You know, they'll do what it, you know, what it needs. But what happens over time is through that extraordinary effort and you know, the willingness to save and the willingness to prepare, and sort of my grandfather was one of these guys to me. You know, he moved. He was an immigrant. He moved to the country from Hungary. And there he was preparing for fiscal devastation at any given time. So he was constantly, you know, concern, because everybody who came to America and Canada at the time, you know, was, you know, they came from tough places where things had gone wrong. There was potato famines, there was starvation. And so they got to this land of plenty. They worked hard. But you know what? The catastrophe never came. You know, the worst catastrophe was the Depression. And ultimately, you know, compared to, you know, well, in fact, you know, we're in a depression greater than the Depression of the 40s right now. There's 45 million people on food stamps. If we told them to stand in line at soup kitchens, you know how devastating that would look. But we can't see them. They're in Walmart with a plastic card, you know, getting what they need, and they're being supported by government. And we've got real unemployment of 23%. Well, you know, so we're actually in a tougher condition than we ever were then. And it doesn't look that tough to us because, of course, we can't see it and the government's doing a good job of hiding it. But the people there, you know, at that time, you know, they were used to struggling. You know, they didn't leverage themselves. They didn't have McMansions. They didn't have three houses and four cars. You know, the pain wasn't getting rid of three of the cars. The pain was keeping one. So, you know, you have these people, they're versatile, they're tough, they're dedicated, and they grind their way through the recession. And after that, nothing, you know, really, we've had some minor recessions after that, but ultimately, North Americans, and I always say Canadians and Americans together, have just lived the best times of all times. It's the best that's ever occurred on this planet, ever. Unfortunately, it was borrowed. It was bought with by debt, you know, through the government. It was bought personally with debt. In fact, our culture is debt. We're trying to turn the economy around by borrowing more money. Well, I don't know if you've ever paid your way out of debt by borrowing more money, but I'll bet you big money you haven't. You
no,
can't.
It doesn't work. Does not
That's right.
work.
That's
Does
right.
Not
it comes.
Work.
It comes back to roost. And so, you know, I was tutored by my grandfather, you know, who was the kind of guy that was, you know, watch the news, pay attention, because bad things are coming. You know, that's where he came from. Well, bad things never actually came in my time. You know, this is my time and bad things are finally coming. But what's happened here is, in sort of these last 30 or 40 years, we've cultured a class of expectant people. They expect to have this, they expect that. Everybody expects they can have something. Well, you know, It's worked temporarily, but now, like I said, this is coming home to roost. And the toughest times of all times since the 40s are upon us again. And like I said, you know, we just can't physically see it right now, but we have tent cities sprung up all through the United States. And so we've got people struggling to stay alive, but they don't know how to struggle to stay alive. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to be lean. You know, everybody's beyond their means. And I have kids. I have a 25, a 24, a 20-year-old, and a 40-year-old. And, you know, I started warning them 5 years ago. And I would actually say these words. I said, you're the largest group of sniveling, incapable, you know, group of people that have ever lived on this planet, because everything has been handed to you and it's about to end and things are about to get tough. And that's where I'd say, you know, my grandfather would roll around in his grave, you know, where everybody had just gotten so comfortable that when things get tough, you know, I got to tell you, Facebooking may not feed you.
No
so,
kidding.
So I guess those are the things I like to talk about in the book. But, you know, I see the book as good news.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. And the good news is, doesn't matter how tough it is, you can make it better.
Absolutely. And that's what your story encourages. You've gone through a number of experiences which you share in the book. I want to go into this company that you founded called Al. You didn't found it. You bought into it, Alpha Graphics, and you opened it in Western Canada, and then you went to Russia. And before we went on the air, because you're in Ecuador right now, we didn't have much of a chance to chat in advance. But man, oh man, could I relate to what you were talking about with Russia, your association with McDonald's, how you had to deal in an environment where people didn't even have food on the shelves. I know what it was like in 92 when we were there. They didn't even have medicine. They couldn't get aspirin. It was unbelievable what we saw there. Wonderful, wonderful people. Tell us about the Alpha Graphics, how you got to Russia, and what happened with that.
Yeah, well, Alpha Graphics was, you know, sort of one of my earlier business ventures. And at that point, I had a younger family, and, you know, I wanted to be safe. And so I picked a franchise and did a lot of research and thought, you know, I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I want to find a model that works and then apply the hard work. And so when I bought into the franchise, they had opened up in Canada, and they'd been very successful in the United States. But they actually sold the master license, who then franchised me in Calgary. They sold it to this large financial company that ended up going bankrupt. And so our master licensee more or less got, you know, taken away, and we were left on our own. And there was 23 locations at the time, and pretty much, you know, the rest of them went under, except me. I actually grew mine to 4 locations and on to a 5th one. And what I did was I took down the manuals and just sort of followed the methodology. And as my grandfather would say, I put my nose to the grindstone and worked real hard. And became, you know, my stores would, all of them would rank in the top 10 in the world out of 450 locations. And so I got sort of famous for the, look, this guy, you know, he's number one, and he doesn't even have the franchise, or he just follows the system. And it, this created a lot of opportunity to me, and you know, for me, and they sent me to like Ireland and the UK, and I helped open stores in different places of the world. But at one point, there was a joint venture done in Russia, and they sent me to Russia. And wow, just like you know, what an incredible awakening. You know, they were starving, and you know, potatoes were really, you know, the staple of the people. And so, you know, and anybody who's bloated on starches, you know, they don't look, but they're malnourished. And so, you know, they were malnourished at the time, and things were very difficult there. There was no heat in their buildings. And if you can imagine, you know, I was there in the dead of winter. And you know, you'd be in a bus, and they would have the bus glassed in for the driver. And so he was warm, but the rest of the bus had no heat. So from the breaths, there was so much ice on the windows that you could, you know, I don't know, if you live in a cold climate, you know, you put your palm in your hand and work it up against the ice so that you can see out the window. Well, you know, there, you'd have to stand there for 30 minutes trying to work it through the ice. That's how much ice was on the inside of the bus. And so you can imagine, you know, it's tough, it's cold. Most of the buildings are large apartment blocks, and they're centrally heated. And in the evenings, they would actually shut off their heat. So from about 10 o'clock at night to about 7 in the morning, there was no heat. And you know, and here's this burly Canadian, you know, who had a couple extra pounds on him, you know, used to the cold. But I'll tell you, I was freezing. I was freezing at night, you know, bundled up, you know, trying to stay warm. It's like going camping in 35 below without a heat source. And so they're very tough, very durable people. And you know, I have to say, you know, they were certainly taking it, you know, like I say, you know, like the early, you know, people who came to North America. You deal with what you get, and you know, and you find a way out. And so ultimately, you know, it was tough. It was cold. But I guess, you know, the thing that you noticed, like I noticed, the people were fabulous. You know, they were friendly. They, you know, they wanted to learn. They wanted to know. They wanted to change. And, you know, they wanted to open up to the world. And, you know, I really, you have to book a two-hour show for me to talk about Russia, because I could just go on and on. It was just a fabulous adventure.
It was. Now, you bring out some very, you're a businessman. And for some reason, in the U.S. right now, the mentality of those who are in the position of making decisions for the nation have about, I think, maybe a hair's breadth worth of business competency. That's Donna speaking. That's not, don't hold anybody else to it, but that's what I feel. You talk about that you saw the handwriting on the wall because there was a socialist government that won the provincial elections and radically changed the market. It threw the business environment in Canada really a bad sock in the profitability level. You saw this happen. You saw so many different things. One of the things you said in your book, you said, always watch the news. You study economics. You keep track of investment markets, government trends, and world affairs, and you feel that this enables you to stay ahead of everything. Now, you have become a very, very wealthy man, a very wealthy man. Part of what I feel is in your book is that you would like other people to become wealthy, but you also want them to be awake to how they need to do things. Am I wrong?
Yes.
So I am correct in how I'm perceiving what you're writing. It's absolutely amazing. You talk about going to work for some guy and...
Me for...
Hello? Something happened to the connection all of a sudden. So my guest today is Richard.
Feel free to compete.
From Rags to Rags is his book. What was the next step? After your company, you ended up selling it to someone that paid you handsomely for it. Franchises seem to be a niche for you. What would you say to someone in today's world that is living in the United States and they're saying, what do I do? I'm looking at so many things that are going awry. What can people in business do to enable this nation in their own way, enable this nation to have more of a respect and to understand that we've got to be self-sufficient like we were at one time? What would you say, Richard?
Well, first off, you're going to have to throw your government out.
Mm-hmm.
Because business is so handcuffed by policy, by regulation. I mean, frankly, it's easier to open a business in China today than it is in the United States. I mean, I'm here in Ecuador, and you know what I say to the Ecuadorians?
Mm-hmm.
I say this is America. They go, what? I said, this is America. This is where a guy, you know, if he needs to stay alive, he'll stand on the street and he'll sell battery chargers, or he'll juggle a ball in the corner. He'll open a hot dog stand. And, you know, you open a hot dog stand in America without the permit, you're going to jail. You get fined for $25,000. And you know, you'll end up missing your family for a year and a half because you didn't fill out the forms. But you couldn't fill out the forms because you didn't have the money because you lost your job. Well, here, this is the can-do attitude, you know, find a way to survive. And when you look at business attempting to compete in the United States today and Canada, they are so handcuffed by regulation, high taxes. At one point, in Canada, we used to look at America and go, oh, my God, we would rather be there. I mean, opening an Alpha Graphics in Canada was way tougher than the United States. The
mm-hmm.
taxes were way higher. At one point, you know, virtually every dollar that got spent into the economy, you know, 35 to 40% of it was spent by the Canadian government on behalf of us. And in the United States, it was 17%. Well, the roles have reversed, and now 53 or 54 cents of every dollar that's generated or turned into the economy in the United States is spent by government. Well, I don't know, but I've never seen the government do anything efficient in my life. They're the guys who pay $500 for a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, what we've done is we've taken the productive people, and we've taken the cash source, the revenue, and we've redistributed it through the most inefficient system on the planet called government. And it's not an American government or a Chinese. You know, government is inefficient. That's the way it is. And now, you know, the sort of people in government today, it's sort of like when I was talking about, you know, the people who built the country originally, and I was talking about my kids and sort of the life that they lived. Well, these politicians have no idea what it takes to build an economy. In fact, America has the number one professional class, political class in the world, where people start out, they go to school, they intern, you know, they run over here, they work for that center, and then they run themselves. You know, none of these people have had real jobs, and none of these people have built real companies, and nobody knows exactly what it is to take to make, you know, an economy work well, because they actually don't have a sense of it from the ground floor. But, you know, their idea is, well, we'll spread the wealth. But when you spread the wealth without actually generating value, you know, what happens is you just go into decline.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they've been solving this, and you know, this has been going on since the Reagan era, so let's not take out the gun and shoot Obama. Let's shoot them all, because each one of them has been spending their grandchildren and their children's future. And I have to say, I think I say somewhere in the book, you know, I can't show you an honest politician unless you can find somebody who has voted not to borrow money off his children's back, because every one of them, you know, has been borrowing money and putting it onto their children's and their grandchildren's future. So how can you be an honest politician when you're gonna take out a nice big boat and put that on your grandchild to pay for? And that's what we've got going on. We've got people who are so far disassociated from the working class and the business class that, you know, they generate, you know, rules and laws and taxes and expense, you know, on the people who are actually creating value. So when you buy a boat, it's bought from the profit of another activity, not taking away from somebody who's attempting to make a profit.
You're a man through this book. You've had your disasters where you've had health issues. You have had financial losses. Your story is really a compelling one, and that's why you called it From Rags to Rags. And it is, I think, something that's very much worth reading. I know we're just about out of time here, Richard. What is your website, or do you have one that people can go to find out more about the book?
Yeah, if you go to FromRagsToRags.com, you know, the story about the book is there. But there's also another website. It's rberkeley.com, so R like Richard, and B-E-R-K-L-E-Y.com. And you can go there, and of course, the book is a part of that. But it also details, you know, a lot of the businesses and the things that I do. And if you want to sort of get a good sense of the things that I'm up to, you can go there and you can, and if you want, you can touch on the book link and it'll take you to From Rags to Rags. So either way, you can access the book.
That's from rags2rags.com or R. Berkeley, R, V like Victor, E, R, K like King, L, E, Y.com. It's a powerful book and it is something that I think addresses reality. When you are going through life's experiences, there's no guarantees, no straight lines, and no rescue units on the side. But he gives a lot of good insights, a lot of wisdom, and a lot of practical perspective that I think the younger generation could benefit from. But I think sometimes those of us that are mature need to read things like this to keep us aware of where our responsibilities are and what we can do with our own lives by being true to ourselves. Richard Berkeley, enjoy Ecuador, and I'm so delighted we were able to connect, and thank you very much, and perhaps someday in the future we might cross paths again.
Great. Well, my great pleasure, and thank you very much for having me, Donna.
It's been a delight. My guest again, Richard Berkeley, From Rags to Rags. You can go to his website, FromRagsToRags.com or rberkeley.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Hey, telephone lines are now open, so if you'd like to let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a call at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I know we ran out of time with Richard, but one of the things that I wanted to share with you was right on the last page of his book. He said, if you hung around me in the management field, you'd know that one piece of advice that you'd hear from me over and over for 20 years was take action. That is what we need to do. And he said, life is about the journey. It's about playing in the game and failing and winning. You don't just get there. Focusing just on an end goal without the experience of getting there shortens the fulfillment of your life. Want to make $1 million and you think that defines success? So what? What if you get to 999,000? Does that mean you're not successful? Celebrate the wins. But understand, you're missing out on a lot if that's all there is to it. When someone said that life's about the journey, it's collective. It's everything you get on that journey. It's the lessons you've learned. It's the difference you've made. It's the joys you've experienced. It's the tears you've cried. So go live your life, achieve some things, and when you're finished with one thing, move on to the next. Really great wisdom. Donna Sebo here. I've got a lot of little goodies to share with you today. I also want to let you know, tomorrow we're talking with another millionaire. That's right. We're going to be talking with Aaron Lapetus. He's a garage sale millionaire. Oh, my goodness, are we going to have a good time talking about what you can do with a garage sale, how you evaluate things, the way to run it. Oh, I'm telling you, this was an amazing book to me. I really got an education, so I'm going to pass it along to you. By the way, if you'd like for me to share my skills with you today, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into. Well, let me share a couple of tidbits, little odds and ends. Are you getting letters like I have been getting through the mail that says, oh, your mortgage has been bought by another lender and you've got to make payments to the new one? Or you've got something coming in. Gee, how about a VA loan? You really have to watch out for this material. And if you have any older members in your family that own property, and they go, oh, wow, look at this. Maybe we could make this deal. Maybe we could do that. Say, hey, let me look at it. Let me check it out. Don't sign or get involved with any of this. Why? Because there are some thieves that are targeting homeowners. They're trying to trick them into sending money directly to them rather than the real mortgage company. Hard to believe, but your mortgage company is your mortgage company, and they're the ones that own the loan. So anytime you receive a letter that states there's been an unexpected change in your loan, you call your mortgage company directly to confirm it. And if you have older members of your family and they're getting this, they say, oh, my goodness, this has changed. Say, let me look at it. Let me check it out. Here in the Seattle area, there was a real significant program that I heard on a talk radio show. And this was about someone that was elderly. And it was a gentleman that was in his 80s, I believe, and ended up being scammed out of over $1 million, believing what a person had told them. And by the time the family found out what was going on, all of this money had disappeared. And it's such a sad situation because the family member that was interviewed said, we don't even know how we're going to be able to pay for this person's care because this individual in their family had worked so hard, saved so much money, and now they're in a level of dementia. They don't even remember what they did. So lots of times things go on, and that's why I sort of tucked in there. If you have older members of family, you hear all of this stuff on television, reverse mortgage, and all kinds of things that are promoted. And someone that maybe is going through tough times might think that that is a magic bullet of action for them. Help them out. Explain to them what might work and what might not. And if you don't know, get educated so you can help those around you. It really does make a difference. Okay, a couple of freebie items. Hey, what if you want to get some goodies and you go, okay, how can I do this so that I can get it for free? Well, here are some tips. They're not really all that new. They've been around as far as I can remember. And you just have to be aware of where to go. If you want to review products, you can become a reviewer. And all you have to do is sign up at bizagent.com. That's bzzagent.com. And they'll send you free samples. And you get to talk to friends in exchange on Facebook, Twitter, and real life about the goods, and then share everyone's opinions with the site. Also, there's another site, says SheSpeaks.com. SheSpeaks.com. You provide feedback on the products on the site's discussion boards. And at StartSampling.com, you'll be given surveys to rate the stuff they send you. This is all very important to these businesses that do it. They need to have people that are going to tell them the truth about whatever they've got. And I think of a company who didn't do this. They had put out skincare. Well, the skincare line was absolutely awesome. And then someone at the major company got this wing-ding of an idea. They were going to change the formula. Do you know, it almost destroyed this company that had actually developed a superb product because the new one they hadn't test marketed first. And what happened is people were getting severe allergic reactions to this secondary formula that was supposed to be the woohoo of woohoos when it came to skincare products. Well, didn't take long. There was such a furor that they had to take that formula off of their shelves and out of circulation ASAP. They had to take it back right away. So these surveys that are being done, if you like doing that type of thing, it's a great way to be able to try different things, get stuff for free, pass along your opinions, and also realize that you can be a significant part of a research campaign. Also, you can have a product party, and you can show how the free goodies you've been given work, and there are two websites, houseparty.com or mygettogetherpage.com, and they'll help you schedule parties and do all kinds of things so that you can have an event like this, and you'll be able to demonstrate the products at your big get-together, wherever you're going to have it. Also, there are companies like Kraft and, you know, just all General Mills. They will let you test newly launched products. Now, let's take like Philadelphia Cooking Cream or Jell-O Temptations. Well, you can go into KraftFirstTaste.com and also GeneralMills.com. I'll spell that for you. P like Paul, S-S-S-T dot GeneralMills.com. And you will be able to find out about some of the items that they've got that they're considering coming out with. You know, with General Mills, they had Progresso Light Soups and Betty Crocker Warm Delight Minis. So these things were sampled by all kinds of individuals. So there are some goodies. If you'd like to have that in your life experience, hey, it's something that might give you a whole new perspective. You might find a new career, perhaps, in one way or another. Also, those of you looking for jobs, if you think that sending a thank you note is obsolete after you've done an interview, or if you're working with a recruiting firm and you just say, oh, well, we don't need to do that anymore, think again. There was a survey done by Career Builders and said that more than 1 in 5 hiring managers are less likely to hire a qualified candidate if they don't send a follow-up thank you note. Little things can make a difference. They believe that when you don't do that, it shows a lack of follow-through. It also makes the potential employer think that you're really not that interested in the job. So don't worry about spending a lot of money on fancy thank you cards. They are just happy to receive the thank you, and a lot of them will take that thank you via email. Times have changed, but I'll tell you what. A business card can make a difference, but I do think in today's world, from the feedback I've been getting from different people, the emails are read more, more speedily than the standard cards are. But you could do one of each. Why not be different? Why not make yourself visible by having that kind of thoughtfulness and courtesy? It really does make a difference. I am amazed how many times the simple word, two words, thank you, are not uttered by people. I really am surprised. You know, if we express courtesy and we demonstrate it, little ones pick up on that. I have really been surprised at how many times I have observed adults allowing discourteous behavior to exist. You know, it comes from we adults. If we don't give a good example, how are the little ones going to be as adults? If you don't demand and expect courtesy, it's not going to be there. And it has to be the standard, really. That's my bias. That's a Donna attitude. I really think it's important. And you know what? Doesn't it make it nicer when you're interacting with people, when someone says thank you, when they say please? I'll tell you what, with waiters and waitresses, and I've traveled a lot in my working experience, I have found that that has made a difference. And I'll pass along a tip that was shared with me many years ago by someone who was told this by a friend, who always, whenever he went out, these two guys, whenever they'd go out, this friend would just make sure they talked to the waiter or waitress, giving all this wonderful thoughtfulness and consideration. And the guy that went with him said, why do you do that? Why are you taking time to spend time with a waiter or waitress? The guy said, I always get excellent service wherever I go. And he said, the one thing I learned is I always find out the name of the waiter or the waitress who is serving me, and I make a point of calling them by their name, saying please and thank you, and I have always gotten superb service wherever I go. We need to keep that in mind. This is Donna Siebel. Hey, those phone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Siebel, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Donna Siebel publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. For those of you in the Pacific Northwest, now don't forget, you can give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. For those of you in the Pacific Northwest, specifically Western Washington, there's a lot going on this month of July, and I am going to be participating in two speaking presentations. One is going to be on the evening of July 26th. It's a Tuesday evening. I'm going to be at the Progressive Spiritual Center. I'm going to be there. We'll start at 6:30. This is going to be like a mini class. There's a small fee of $10. I'll be doing demonstrations. We're going to be doing some exercises, so whoever comes will be able to participate in this. I'm also going to have books, CDs, and some handmade angels that are going to be available. So if you are interested in a relaxing, informative, and interactive program and the development of your own intuitive skills, hey, come on over. We'd love to have you. And also, on July 30th, that's a Saturday, there is going to be an all-day event going on from 10 in the morning until 4:30 in the afternoon. There are going to be vendors, all kinds of people there with all kinds of products. This is a program called Answers, a spiritual event. It's going to be held at the Best Western Plus at the River's Edge in Seattle. Actually, it's right there in the South Center area. And then in the evening, we're having a special event from 6 to 10, and that is going to be a $35 charge for that. I am one of the VIP speakers, as well as some other people there. So we're going to be doing demonstrations, and there's going to be a lot of good interaction. Now, if you want the details on this, on these two events, go into my website. Go to my newsletter. You have it there. It's on the events calendar. All of that is posted. And then in August, we have the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. It's one of the biggest events in the state, and this is absolutely awesome. I'm going into my 11th, 12th year with this group. They're just delightful. And it's the first 3 weekends in August, and I have free tickets. So if you, and the tickets are going fairly quickly, I have about 10 tickets left. So if you would like to get a free ticket to the Buckley, Washington, Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, get me an email. Send me an email. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Donna@DelphiInternational.com. But again, go to my website. You'll get all of the materials and more information that will be coming through on up. But send me that email so I can get those tickets out to you and put down your contact information, your address, and your phone number should I need to reach you. So please do that. And those tickets, like I said, they are going. So I want you to be able to have it if you're in the Western Washington area. Great, great event. Well, tomorrow, again, we're talking with a garage sale millionaire. And then on Friday, we are talking about monsters of the Pacific Northwest. Wow, I never knew we had so many creepy crawlers and interesting items that are here in the Pacific Northwest. So we'll be finding out about that on Friday. And by the way, if you want to know about upcoming guests, check out radio show information right with the Donna Sebo Show listing, and you'll be able to go in and see everybody that is scheduled for this month. So that's where you can keep on top of things. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Don't you just love summer? Everything, the windows are open here in the Pacific Northwest. The sun god has finally blessed us with his presence. And I'll tell you, we are just loving it. Windows are open, and it's just great. Front doors are open. People are just saying, whoa, this is so wonderful. Well, part of what goes on when this happens is you realize that you got to take care of some things in your household. So here are some interesting items that are environmentally friendly that you can have available and sort of get things up to par. I came across this information and I thought this is really good. If you've got Listerine in your house, it can disinfect like you would not believe. Now, all you need to do is put together a solution of the original flavor, the original Listerine mouthwash, and half water. All you have to do is spray it, and it kills bacteria like you would not believe. It also cleans away mold. Now, we're not talking about the blue stuff or anything else. This is the original Listerine. That stuff is really potent. And all you have to do with that is spray it onto your grout, leave it for 2 minutes, and just wipe it away. It will kill mold instantaneously. And it's not quite as bad a smell as, let's say, bleach is. Bleach, you have to be very careful because it actually can make you ill if you don't have a lot of inhalation. In fact, it can actually burn your lungs if you're not careful. So you need to be aware of that. And if you've got vases and you want to put a lot of fresh flowers in it, you wonder how to keep them clean or what to do, use some Alka-Seltzer tablets. It just actually just bubbles up all of that stuff that might be inside of an old vase, and that'll take care of it. Also, you can use it to clean cookware. Baking soda is good for this, too. Just put some water into whatever that cookware item might be. Let it soak for about an hour, and the sodium bicarbonate, good old baking soda, and the Alka-Seltzer releases your stuck-on food. And it's so easy to clean up. And then, if you want to keep your flowers fresh, just drop a couple of aspirin. According to this one person, they said the salicylic acid slows the aging process of cut flowers, but I had no idea you could use aspirin to combat dandruff. This is something new for me. All you have to do is crush 2 aspirin in a spoonful of shampoo, rub it into your hair, leave it on for about 1 to 2 minutes, then rinse it out, and the salicylic acid will begin to heal that condition of scalp that contributes to the dandruff. Learn something new every day. And if you want to clean your keyboard, I learned this years ago from a woman who had a business that she started cleaning keyboards for banks and other things. All you do is use rubbing alcohol. You have a cotton swab or use Q-tips for those real small areas and disinfect it really fast. And it's clean as a whistle, and I've done this myself on my keyboard. You don't pour it on. You just put the little bit of cotton. And, of course, the alcohol evaporates so quickly. Very, very safe. And if you have a child that is interested in doing art, and you go, how in the world can I do this so that they're not going to be slathering stuff all over the place with paintbrushes? Why not use Q-tips? That's right. Use water-based paints so that they're washable. Pile of cotton swabs, and those kids will just have a blast and throw everything in the trash afterwards and wash everything off. It's just really great. Keep deodorant handy for insect stings. Prevent a blister. If you rub your feet with deodorant before putting new shoes on, it'll decrease moisture because it's the friction that causes blisters in shoes. Just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I know we are out of time. This is Donna Siebel. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Enjoy life. It's for a living. And realize your goals are attainable. You just might need to do it one step at a time. Donna Siebel here. Talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.